Thank you, Patrick.
E3 kicked off a bit earlier than usual this year, with Electronic Arts holding its annual pre-show press conference on Saturday. And it was fitting that EA went first, since I think most gamers are pretty united in the opinion that the publisher showing is, by tradition, the least exciting and least important conference of E3 year in and year out. That's strange, of course, since EA is such a gigantic and important entity in gaming, but let's be real. Much of what they do well, and yet they've annualized and sequelized so many of their properties that we know exactly what they're going to show, and there are rarely any surprises. This is far from being a Bethesda press conference, for instance, and it's leagues behind the hardware manufacturer's showings, but that's just EA, that's how they roll, so let's not hold it against them. I actually want to start my brief review of the conference with something that was tagged towards the end of the show, since it was pretty important. CEO Andrew Wilson came out right before the Anthem presentation that capped the end of the show, touching on some of the themes that I mentioned in my E3 strategies video from last week. Namely, I said that EA needed to build trust with the players, since EA's relationship with its player base is incredibly poor and incredibly earned, and I think Mr. Wilson's speech was a step in the right direction. Why this wasn't at the very top of the show, or at least spoken by Mr. Wilson when he first took the stage, I don't know, but I'm glad EA as a publisher is acknowledging its shortcomings. Wilson discussed EA's emphasis on playing anywhere, on players being treated fairly by the publisher, on valuing your money, your fandom, and your attention in such a crowded marketplace. Did he come right out and say that EA is sorry for how things have been going the last few years? No. And maybe it's a tad bit naive to ever expect that they would be so blunt and forthcoming. But I wanted to give credit where credit is due, because I thought that was a nice portion of the conference. But what about the games? Well, like I said earlier, EA's presentation was predictable, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't anything exciting tucked in there. Battlefield 5 opened up the festivities, and while we saw the game in its reveal towards the end of last month, it was cool seeing more of it, and getting a taste of what's in store when it launches on October 19th later this year. Obviously, Battlefield's destruction mechanics were a focus, but customization was also put forth as something worth talking about, particularly because the representatives on stage from DICE mercifully confirmed that Battlefield 5 will have no loot boxes whatsoever, nor a premium pass. While it's probably difficult for the far-flung studio to make decisions based on its failures with another game, in this case Star Wars Battlefront 2, these were decisions that clearly had to be made to convince the players to give EA and DICE a pass after dropping the ball so badly last fall. The crowd response to the announcement was surely noticeable. When Battlefield 1 came out in 2016 and explored World War 1, I was especially smitten with its single-player campaign, which allowed us to view the conflict through the lens of multiple unrelated characters, often on conflicting sides. It gave us a nice micro-taste of history, and also kept the campaign moving, with conflict and timeline diversity spanning the nearly 5 years of that war. It sounds like we're going to get a similar campaign in Battlefield 5, which is set to be revealed in more depth during Xbox's press conference. While I'm confused by the name, why jump to 5 after reverting to 1 2 years earlier? Battlefield 5 looks really cool, even if it's getting a Battle Royale mode, because why wouldn't it? That's not going to get old at all. EA wisely split up its sports presentations, although I thought all of them were largely unnecessary. I'll reiterate what I said in my strategies video. EA isn't going to sell an extra copy of FIFA, Madden, or any other sports game by showing it at E3. Those games sell to a loyal audience of millions who buy them year in and year out, not to mention a casual audience that doesn't watch E3. So I, like most of you, spaced out during FIFA 19's lengthy presentation following Battlefield 5's strong opening. And by the time they got to NBA Live 19 and Madden 19 later in the show, I was essentially comatose, though I must admit that I appreciate that Electronic Arts keeps on keeping on with NBA Live, not ceding the hill to the traditionally far superior NBA 2K franchise. I respect that they're not willing to say die, even if it's probably not going to work out. Star Wars played a fairly central role during EA's presentation, although it was what wasn't shown that was perhaps most interesting. The host of EA's conference, Andrea Renee, went to the audience to speak with Respawn Entertainment's co-founder and CEO Vince Zampella, a man you'd know best from the old Call of Duty games, and a studio you'd know best for the Titanfall franchise. EA fully acquired Respawn at the tail end of last year for around $150 million, and so you know they're going to expect bigger things out of the studio than Titanfall. And while we knew they were working on a Star Wars game, Renee's conversation with Zampella netted us a name and some scant details. The game is going to be called Jedi Fallen Order. It takes place in between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, and you play as a Jedi. Oh, and it's going to come out next holiday season in 2019, so don't get too excited. The other Star Wars game that EA focused on was the already released, incredibly divisive Star Wars Battlefront 2. And since I gave Andrew Wilson credit for opening up about EA's failures, I suppose I should also give the representative from DICE credit, who came on stage and said, quote, "Clearly we didn't get it quite right," end quote, when they released Battlefront 2, and that it changed their entire approach to Battlefront 2's post-release environment, Stymieing their plans and forcing them to focus on other things that will more immediately make the player base happy. While bringing up the game's thuddish arrival was probably unavoidable, I tip my hat for the self-deprecation. As for what's coming to Battlefront 2, it's exciting, I guess. DICE is going to focus on the Clone Wars for a future series of expansions, with characters ranging from Grievous and Obi-Wan to Dooku and Anakin making appearances. Don't worry, though, I still hate General Grievous.
Don't even get me fucking started on Jango Fett, Greg, because okay, I'm gonna lose my mind.
We can move on. We don't have to do it.
One EA initiative that I actually love is the EA Originals brand, which is basically Electronic Arts' indie game incubation vertical. And as we saw most recently with the meteoric success of A Way Out, this brand can produce major hits that we'd otherwise never catch a glimpse of. Two new EA Original games were revealed during the middle portion of the press conference, and one, believe it or not, is available for you to play right now. Unravel, which EA Originals launched in early 2016, already has a sequel called Unravel 2. It can be played alone or in co-op, and it's downloadable as we speak. I don't recall many people being blown away by Unravel, so it was a bit surprising to see a sequel, especially so soon, but there it is nonetheless. The other EA Original that was revealed is called Sea of Solitude, from German studio Jaume, and while the presentation of the game was incredibly weak, the woman on stage was obviously nervous but did her game no favors whatsoever. The game seems thoughtful and interesting, hinging its gameplay and its aesthetic on negative emotions like loneliness. I'll be keeping an eye on that one moving forward. If EA blundered in one way outside of its sports emphasis, though, it was on showing a mobile game, Command & Conquer Rivals. Now, Command & Conquer is a big franchise, no doubt, but it's a big franchise for core PC-type gamers. I'll say it once again, you have to know who is watching your presentation, and people who give a damn about mobile games are not E3's audience, no matter how important a game like this might ultimately be to the broader bottom line. Like with Madden, FIFA, and others, you can both acknowledge their importance as IP while not showcasing them to an audience that simply doesn't care. So I remain confused why EA ever shows mobile games during its press conference. And while they've been far worse with this stuff in the past, it's something they need to move beyond. And if they're doing it simply for fluff, then you have to ask if they need to have a conference that's so long. On the other end of the spectrum, though, I appreciated their reveal of Origin Access Premier, which is basically the first public showcase of the acquisition EA recently made when it acquired Gamefly's streaming technology, so that it can jump into the fray with the likes of PlayStation Now. To be honest, I'm not entirely sure of the viability of game streaming, not only because once promising companies like OnLive have gone the way of the dodo, but because EA itself is at the forefront of proving the viability of a parallel course, one that seems more stable, player-friendly, and interesting, the Game Pass, which allows you to download games instead of merely streaming them. I suppose it's smart to mix in both worlds and see what happens, but if I were a betting man, I'd say there's more promise in the subscription model than the streaming model. Either way, though, this particular initiative gives love to PC gamers, and will not only bring Madden back to the PC for the first time in like a decade, but will also give players day one access to Anthem, Battlefield 5, and the like. So that's a pretty exciting thing, or at least potentially exciting, if you're a PC-centric gamer, which I'm not, obviously. Naturally, EA tucked Anthem, its most anticipated game, towards the very end of the conference, and I actually appreciate the way they properly revealed the game to the world here. Instead of showing a trailer and having a guy in a graphic t-shirt come up and use some buzzwords, they instead humanized the reveal by bringing on stage a trio of high-ranking creators from developer BioWare so they can talk about their game. Now, much of this was heavily scripted, and it certainly showed, but by breaking the script and taking some questions from social media, and by not only relying on a trailer or a sizzle reel to explain everything, they took the time to really methodically talk about the game, and I thought that was cool. The biggest takeaway for me personally is that the game can be played solo, which is huge for gamers like me, and the four character classes were awesome too. Ranger, Colossus, Interceptor, and Storm. We also got a release date, February 22nd, 2019. Will they hit it? I don't know, it's hard to say. It's clear that this game's development has been tortured, but one other thing is far more important, getting it right. This space, this Destiny slash The Division slash Fortnite slash whatever space is heavily occupied. And I'm not saying that Anthem will be like those games or that those games are even like each other. What I'm saying is that those games all require bulked up and permanent communities to thrive, and they need lots and lots of your attention at the sake of playing other games. The fuller this environment becomes with games like this, the more likely it will be that new, similar games fail. And so EA better get this one right, because it will be another black eye for BioWare, and it will force EA to eat tons of money and time that they invested in this product. I certainly think Anthem looks pretty cool, but I'm not really looking forward to it like I am many other games, so that's my two cents for now. I think overall, Electronic Arts did what it needed to do, keeping in mind what I said at the top, that this isn't a publisher known for big surprises, sharp left turns, and stellar E3 showings. That they showed some contrition was really nice. That they showed off some games that shouldn't be at an E3 press conference continues to puzzle me. And in a way, that's EA in a nutshell. Predictable, not so bold, but relatively quality-oriented. But frankly, now that EA is out of the way, I find myself even more excited by what's still to come from other publishers.
At once, right? Well, give him a break. He needs to just enjoy the show.